are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
Here it is. It's the God Geeks podcast where we love that Wookiee. And my man,
James Cleland, at the James Cleland.
On
Twitter? Twitter, I guess. Yeah, Instagram,
I,
too.
He's your co-host, and I'm your co-host and producer of the God Geeks podcast. My name's Bill Brimer. I'm at Bill Brimer on Twitter. And even though I'm on a social media hiatus right now,
I've kind
of gone silent, but I'm still on there. You can still find me, and you can still message me, and you can still message us on
the
website,
godgeeks.com.
One of these websites that shares our podcast, that sponsors our podcast, is Christ Told Fast.
Ooh, yeah.
And there's a Christ Told Fast conference that's happening like this Saturday. So this episode will be coming out and it will be like right on top of conference in the DFW area, the
Perfect.
City event. Then we also, we air on Pirate Christian Radio, Pirate Christian Media. So we welcome all those listeners and we got a great episode for you.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to get into the heart of vocation is the way I would call it.
Yeah. That's a good summary.
And then I would say, we're going to get into the heart of Comic-Con and the heart of The Walking Dead and the heart
and
of
Westworld.
So enjoy.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail. You must unlearn what you have learned.
Jedi Mind Tricks, the portion of the show where we really dig into a theological topic, a theological issue. And today we have a fascinating one, as normally we do.
Yeah, and always.
James, how would you put it? What are we going to talk about?
Well, okay, so a few weeks ago, I kind of talked you into going to Comic-Con, and we went, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, And
you invited me.
Invited
to
you.
You invited me to Comic-Con.
You're a willing participant.
And I responded.
I wanted
to go.
One of the things that's always kind of hit me, I went to the New York Comic-Con about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and it was a huge event. And I saw, 120,000 people, and I'm thinking, this is a mission field. How do I get in here and do some ministry? How do I get the gospel to these people? I mean, there's a lot of assumptions I was making.
Right.
But, and then, the local Comic-Con here, I was thinking, man, we could go in and do some type of ministry, whether it be, getting a booth for God Geeks. I don't know. But it led to a conversation between us, which has been kind of eye-opening for me about, I think the term you might have used was imperialism, kind of forcing into situations or places enforcing a message as opposed to being invited to share a message or share the gospel.
Yeah. Okay. So, and I think what I think I prefaced it with this.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that, it is the Holy Spirit that puts on your heart, that you see a group of people that you want to hear the gospel.
Right.
And that's a beautiful, wonderful thing from God. So what I'm not saying is that that's not a good thing.
Right.
Well, I believe that is from God. What I think that we often do then with that desire that's been put on our heart for the Holy Spirit, for we may see like, and I think this is a great example, but you could translate this to anything else. If you said to yourself, I see that there's a group of people at the Comic-Con who are really searching for something, and I want so desperately for them to hear the gospel.
Right.
That's a beautiful, wonderful thing of God. But I think where we make a mistake a lot of times is then what we say is, that must mean I need to do something and force the issue. I need to bring this message in there in a way that's going to get their attention and it's going to save some souls.
Hold up a sign. Yeah. I don't know what.
And again, let me say, I'm not condemning any practice of doing mission where it is that you believe that God's already working, or that God has put on your heart. I think that the Spirit does do these things. The Spirit breaks your heart for who God's heart is breaking for. See?
Yeah.
God's heart is breaking for people who don't believe in Jesus Christ. And so as a church, our heart breaks for people who don't know Jesus Christ, because we are his people, right? But then we design all sort of human ways to sort of make that happen, as if God can't do it unless we kick down some doors and so to use the term imperialism, what I'm talking about is I don't think, and this is what I'm wrestling with, and I'm not saying I have the answers on it.
Okay.
I just have seen this in my life and in ministry and in watching other people do things and learning from that. And I believe that this is true, and I believe it's biblical, and I believe it's a very Lutheran understanding of vocation. I believe that God is already inviting you, people are already inviting you in your life into their lives. And you don't have to make invitations for yourself. You don't have to you don't have to kick down doors and go in and invade a realm. You know, you don't have to see a Comic-Con and say, there's a realm that people need Jesus. Now let's mount up and go in there and conquer it. I believe that you already, no matter who you are, if you're in Christ, you already have a lifetime of invitations right around you.
See,
of people who are inviting you into their lives.
Yeah.
And you don't need to go invade new realms. I believe the realms that you've already been placed in by God are open invitations for you to simply love people and shine the light. And when the time is right and appropriate, and you have relationships, and when you have opportunities and invitations to preach the gospel and handle the word of God rightly. And I believe that that is thousands of times more effective and biblical than the idea of going on a crusade. And I'm not saying that when we go to a place that we believe needs the gospel, and we preach the gospel or we administer the gospel in some way, that we're going on a crusade. I don't mean to make it into
something
negative at all, because I do believe that, again, it's something on our hearts by the Holy Spirit. But I think the problem that we run into is that we try to make that happen so often by human design. And God is better than that. He's more powerful than that.
Yeah.
And there are actually narratives and events in the New Testament. And the one that comes to mind, if you want to look at it, is Acts 16. And it actually says, I mean, Paul and his companions kept trying to go into Asia, And it doesn't say Satan hindered them. It says the Holy Spirit prevented them from going in.
Yeah. And that always struck me.
Then he had a dream of the man from Macedonia saying, come preach here. And they saw that as an invitation and they went.
Yeah.
And so here's the thing. They didn't stop trying to go forward. They tried to go forward, but they had closed doors.
Yeah.
And so they went where the door was open. And I think there's a lot to learn from that, to say, I'm not saying don't preach the gospel. I'm saying you don't have to kick down doors. There's already
doors open. And that's what I realized
God
in this situation.
God wouldn't have given you Christ if he wasn't going to use you to give other people Christ. And there's already people around you. And so there's something beautiful that you can do for a realm of people that you know, hey, I can't kick down a door and go in here and with a baptism machine gun and conquer this area. But what I absolutely can do is I can pray for these people, and I can believe that God is going to work.
Yeah.
And I can believe that he is so much bigger than me and my ability and my realm and where he's already got me and where he's already working through me. And he can overcome my weaknesses, and he is so much bigger than me. I mean, if he can take, if he can transport Philip from the baptismal pond with the Ethiopian to a whole nother place, I mean, he's got it handled. He's got it taken care of.
Yeah.
He's going to, it's a miracle. It's a miracle that you heard the gospel.
Yeah.
And it will be a miracle when they hear the gospel. And that miracle may not happen in front of you or without your knowledge, but it you can believe that God will do those things. Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
So the idea that that I can go into any area and do something that that needs me specifically,
yeah,
is sort of the arrogant mindset that I have been guilty of in myself.
Oh, me too.
And so I have been guilty of imperialistic behavior and actions, and I have seen how badly that goes,
yeah,
and how negatively the message is received.
And you've seen it redeemed too, though.
I have seen it redeemed. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have seen, I think God buys it back even when we go in and screw it up.
Oh yeah.
But what I've also seen is where there's already an invitation or invitations.
Yeah.
The fruit that comes out of that is, yeah, tenfold compared to the fruit that comes out of something that you can work twice as hard and twice as long and try to force and try to kick down the door and try to make something happen. There may be some fruit that comes out of that, but there's so much more fruit to be born out of the things that you're already involved in, that you're already invited into in your life.
Right.
And every one of us has open invitations all around us.
Yeah.
We don't need to try to make new invitations for ourselves. I don't believe we need to invite ourselves into other people's lives. I believe we have lives that we're already invited into that need the gospel just as badly as the people that we're thinking about that are put on our heart.
Right.
So I'm not saying ignore promptings to reach out to people that you may not know. I'm not saying ignore promptings to look at an opportunity to share the gospel in a place like Comic-Con or anywhere else. And we're blessed to have a guy in the studio
right now with us.
We had on a previous episode who may know a little bit about this, Pastor Raymond Kayaja from Uganda.
Oh, you said it right.
I will say it right. I've known him for a while. He and I have actually had conversations about this, and I think it may be helpful for our listeners to hear from him how there have, and we won't name names or anything like that, but he's experienced sort of the American imperialism.
We're good at that.
Sort of we can go in and fix what you couldn't fix.
Yeah.
And he may not be comfortable talking about it, but
we're going to make him.
Yeah, we're going to ask him anyway. So Raymond, you heard what I said there. You can disagree with that, or you can comment on that however you already feel.
Yes, I have seen this in my community I think a couple of times where there is no invitation and you kind of get to fix yourself or force yourself in to reach out. You get a couple of people, hundreds of people sitting and listening to you and clapping up and waving for you. But as you go to another place, they can say, yeah, this was his stuff. This is his stuff. He brought it. He came by himself. He brought it for himself. It's not for us. And that kind of ministry, that startup, without an invitation, they end up, when those missionaries who started, end up going with their ministry because the recipient and the locals try.
When they leave, the ministry goes with them.
Goes with them. They're like,
yeah.
They don't own it. They did not invite
it. It was never yours. Yeah.
It was never theirs. But we see where God really calls you and the people invite you to be. They own the ministry. They feel part and parcel, or they feel they are also servants called to serve alongside with you.
Yeah.
And they own the ministry.
You just put it way better than I ever could, because I never even factored in the idea that I knew that when you were imperialistic and forced your message on other people, that it wouldn't be well received. But I didn't realize the idea that even if it was received,
yeah,
they wouldn't see it as their ministry. Their faith. They wouldn't really have a sense that faith was for them. It would comes and go with you.
It'll come and go back.
When God opens a door, and you've seen that too. You have actually been invited to places to preach and say, please come here and minister to us here.
Yeah, right.
And what is the distinction, right, the difference when you see?
I've seen, you have visited those many villages, and we get a lot of invitation on Christ, like in Alimgonza, Katumba, Kiriampuna, and Kisindisi.
These are villages outside
outside Masin town, but in all these villages where we have received invitation and have been called, you have seen how the church is
growing up. And because there was an invitation, God is already at work doing something, and he needs someone. He needs maybe someone who's trained in the word to come in and fan the flames of the fire.
Yeah.
But then you have situations where leaders are raised up out of that. Those become self-sustaining, beautiful movements on their own.
Right.
Where you're not running on a treadmill, you're not running in place trying to make something happen somewhere. You're actually just going where God is already.
Yeah, where God has already opened doors and set the ground for you.
And that's what I see. That's what when I read the New Testament, when I read Paul, when I read the events of Acts, that's what I see. I see God doing something, and it's the worst title that we've ever given any book in the Bible to call it the Acts of the Apostles, because it was not the Acts of the Apostles. It was the Acts of the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, right.
The Holy Spirit was doing something, and he was grafting in the apostles. He was grafting in the church to say, I am up to something here, and I'm going to use your hands. I'm going to use your feet. I'm going to use your voice box. And I'm going to use your arms to hug these people and love these people and give them the gospel and feed them Christ. And they're going to take this message to the ends of the earth. Yeah. It very rarely was. I mean, they were traveling along. But see, Paul wasn't. He didn't even sometimes have. It wasn't imperialistic. He was in chains and thrown in prison, and he said, "Okay, here I am.
On chain.
God has put me in this place." I can't go to all these other places, so I'll minister to the people that are right in front of me. And he ministered to the people in prisons.
Yeah, he did.
And it grew anyway. So he couldn't have stopped it if he wanted to. He just was used by God. They were just used by God. And we are just used by God, not because we're good, not because we're capable, but because he's good and because he's capable. He works in us. He works for us. He works through us. And he works most certainly despite us. He does it despite us.
You put it right. This morning we were discussing with you, sharing in the sitting room, about the bucket, which is broken up.
That God sees.
Yeah.
That you and I are broken vessels. Yeah. We're broken buckets with holes in it, and we look at a broken bucket and we say that thing isn't worth anything. And God looks at that broken bucket and says, "That's what I want." Because I'm going to pour my living water into that broken vessel, and all those holes in that leaky bucket are going to leak my living water out to everybody else around me. It's always, here's the thing. We always mess up when Christ is not the center of it. And when Christ is the center of it, when Christ is the one who's doing the work, so much more will get done than when we think we're doing it on his behalf. It's him who's doing it. And I really believe in my heart, this is the most radical thing about the Reformation, was that this is the doctrine of vocation, really. Mm-hmm. This is saying you don't have to go conquer the world. You're in the world where God has put you. Where your feet are right now is where Christ has called you. Where the people that are in your lives, that's who Christ is going to shine his light on through you and despite you. He's going to do his thing, and that's how he does it. You don't need to, you really don't, and this is, it's fascinating to have you here, because I don't need to go to Uganda to minister to the people in Uganda who need me.
Nope.
They have people in Uganda
to minister to them. Yeah.
There's nothing that, what's beautiful is now what I see the relationship I have with you in Uganda, and I can say, he's my friend. I have an open invitation to go see him. He has an open invitation to come see me.
And, see
and my role with you is to love you and support you and help you in whatever way the Lord equips me to do. And the same with you for me.
Yeah.
But the people of Uganda don't need Pastor Bill.
No.
The people of Masindi Town and those areas over there need Pastor Raymond, who's already there. We don't need Pastor Raymond to come here to the United States to plant a church.
No.
We need the people who live here to plant the church. And God will use the people who are already here. And that's not saying anything against international mission. I think that's what that's saying for international mission is there's a way to do it that is much more effective and much more beautiful and much more Christ-centered than our typical imperialistic way of thinking about it.
That's right.
Yeah. Well,
that
beautiful. Well, we love talking about this stuff, and we love having you
as
a special guest on the program.
Thank you, my brothers.
So thanks for your feedback.
It was a blessing, and I'm honored and humbled to be sharing with you and sharing with the people in the U.S.,
We may record 20 episodes with you right now.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to go straight to This Week in Geek.
C-3PO has got to be the real nerd.
It's against my programming to impersonate a deity.
Darth Vader was a cool character too, although he was the evil one.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right. It's time for This Week in Geek. And we got a lot talk about.
It's like one of the geekiest holidays coming up too, because you get to dress up and
it's
actually
cosplay holiday.
Yeah, you don't have to have a Comic-Con to dress up for.
Yeah, speaking of, let's talk about Comic-Con first.
Okay.
You went to your first Comic-Con.
I did.
And it was a small one when it comes to Comic-Cons.
Yeah.
But it was I thought it was fun. What did you think? First impressions of a Comic-Con?
Well, I'm kind of a hermit.
Yeah,
I don't like crowds.
Stretch.
I like to hang out at the house when I'm not, out doing something that I'm called to do. But I did enjoy myself.
Okay, good.
It was fun. I'm not a big fan of parking and walking and
that's
all
the most annoying part of these things.
But what I'd say is, as a person who loves movies, who loves comics, who loves games, who loves that kind of a thing, it's worth it to go to one. And it was cool because we actually got to meet Scott Wilson, who played Herschel on The
Walking Dead.
And what was cool, what I thought was super cool was you had to pay money if you wanted to get your picture taken with him or you wanted him to sign something, which I understand. And I understand there's big fans that do that kind of a thing, and I think it's fine. I just didn't want to pay any money. And you said, hey, well, I'll go ask that lady if we can just meet him and say hello.
Yeah, say hi, shake his hand.
And when we went up there, she joked with us. She's like, no, you can't meet him unless you pay money. And we were like, oh, well, sorry. And she's like, of course you can meet him. You don't have to pay money to meet him. So we just got to walk right up there and meet the guy.
Yeah.
He was really sweet guy and nice guy.
And now that I know that, at the next Comic-Con I go to, I'm going in every line and just meeting people.
If you can ask.
If you can't, whatever. I'll write a review about them on Twitter.
If there was, I can probably think of a few people that I would pay money to get my picture taken with and get to sign things.
Mark Hamill, I'd do that.
Well, there's a lot of the people that I would actually are dead, so I'd probably have to pay a lot of money to do it, like Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
But
a lot of cash.
I'd have to really cough it up. But that was a cool part of it. There was a lot of like geeky products. And
yeah, it's easy to spend too much money there
and things.
And it's fun people watching. We did a bit of that.
It is, and there was some really good. We have pictures.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We put the pictures up. I've got them.
Oh,
yeah.
Are they on the website?
I'll put them up when we post this.
Okay,
episode.
Okay. So the pictures of us at Comic-Con will be on the website.
Yeah.
So you can laugh
some good
at
ones.
Our geekiness. We got a picture made with a. I mean, this guy was, He had Rick from The Walking Dead. In real life, I don't know
people
how...
People were asking me when I put it up on Twitter, is that the real Rick?
Oh, so they saw it,
they
and
saw
they were like,
they thought,
actually
is that Andrew
and it did
Lincoln.
Look like. It really did. He had the whole costume. He even had the blood from... And he was, like, current. He was from
the
recent episode.
Yeah, it was
the
last frame
episode,
of the recent episode.
Last frame from the recent
before
episode.
Before the premiere, which we'll talk about in a second, if you're up for it.
Well, so Comic-Con... I'm done with Comic-Con.
Okay,
it was fun.
Let's talk Walking Dead.
Okay.
And maybe we don't spoil the big reveal of who Negan kills and whatnot. I guess we could. Okay, if you don't want to hear that...
First of all, you geeks, you haven't watched that, then you don't watch the show at all.
Yeah.
And if you haven't watched it and you're planning on watching it, just hit stop right now. Because it's going to be a spoiler.
So I started watching. There was so much going on Sunday evening for me that I was just getting kind of stressed watching. And I stopped watching. I paused. I was like, you know, I'll finish this tomorrow.
It was too
intense. It was too intense.
It was a really intense.
I had just finished Westworld, which I'd love to talk about too. And then I get to school, and the first, I should have known this was coming. First thing is students come up to me, can you believe that? You know, I'm forgetting names already.
It.
They spoiled it right
away.
I was like, I guess
Glenn
I can
Abraham.
Believe it now. Glenn and Abraham. I'm like, Glenn too? And they're like, yeah, it's horrible. So then I went and kind of started watching again, and I still haven't finished the episode. I read about the end of it, and it's not that I feel betrayed at all in any way, shape, or form. It's a show. They can do what they want. But it's just, why Glenn? Why Glenn? No.
Yeah.
And it felt like, okay, you said one, and now you're giving us two. Oh.
Yeah.
But, and the other thing, the other criticism I've heard, and I felt this, it was extremely violent.
Well, that was the main, to me, it's one thing to show a zombie getting its head knocked
yeah.
open. Because that's sort of the shtick of the show, is that there's these zombies, and they're not really people anymore. There's no redeeming them. They're just monsters.
Yeah.
So they're monsters and they're so expendable. They're everywhere. They're just a mechanism in the show. So
Now we're treating humans like,
this sounds terrible, but the Abraham death was, okay, you're expecting that one.
That was
the
logical one.
It was violent, obviously, and it's going to be on the show. I felt like the one with Glenn, they went too far because, and I know why they were doing it. They're doing it to make Negan the worst villain of all time.
Yeah,
you know,
they got
to
keep up in the ante.
They want you to hate him, and so that's why. You know, they're going to have him taunt him, but I felt betrayed by the show, not to the point where I won't watch it anymore, but, you know, I already told you this.
Yep.
I thought it was cheap what they did with Glenn in the first place.
And then they go do that.
Faking his death, and now they're doing this.
Yeah, don't fake it and then give me the worst possible.
They knew the whole time what they were going to do.
Yeah.
And they fake his death. They make you think he's dead. You make him think, and then once he gets back and him and Maggie are back together and with the baby.
Nice cathartic.
Yeah. So I actually felt like, I think the show's better than they have been. I think.
Yeah.
And I've heard them talk about it, and I've heard them say that Negan's entrance into the show is a reset for the whole story. That this is the event, the show that we just saw.
Yeah,
this is the event, and it's episode 100 in the comic books. This is the event that now everything is different from here on out.
Yeah.
The characters are completely different.
Okay.
This changes everything kind of deal.
Okay.
But I don't think it's necessary. I still don't think it's necessary to show everything that they showed.
Yeah. Agreed.
So I'm disappointed in the show, honestly. And I don't mean that from a moral standpoint.
No.
I mean it from a storytelling standpoint.
The audience and the viewer and the fan, one of the reviews I read, it treated them like they were stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, instead of respecting them a lot, more. So
I'm not happy with it.
Okay.
I mean, I was disturbed.
General consensus.
I was disturbed
by
the episode. I'm not happy with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not. It's not. Let me make it clear. I think they got to start killing off some of these characters.
Yeah, there's a way to do it.
I'm not happy with the way that they did it. I think it was tasteless.
Then the dream sequence at the end with the Sunday dinner. Yeah. I don't think was needed.
Well, it felt like it was a cast picnic.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like it fit with the show.
No, it didn't.
I felt like the whole episode was a major departure from what people have fallen in love with
mm-hmm.
about the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can make the guy. I think the whole mechanism with Rick making Carl chop, his son's hand off and all that other stuff, and then stopping him, and you know, all of that was just another yo-yo.
Yeah.
Of the Glenn thing.
Yeah.
I think all of that is unnecessary. It's a show.
Yeah.
I think it was a betrayal, honestly.
Yeah.
I feel like it was a betrayal
to see where they go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll still watch the show.
I'm gonna give it this season.
I care less about it. I'll be honest with you.
I'm more excited about Westworld now.
Yeah.
Now,
I care less about The Walking Dead.
Westworld. Okay. You didn't watch this week's yet, right?
I have not watched this.
I'm gonna spoil just one thing out of it. You know the player piano?
La 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 la.
No.
It's not a plot spoiler.
The player piano, I love that motif, and it hit me because this episode the player piano starts playing a song by The Cure.
Okay.
Have you ever heard Forest?
Yes.
Okay. Starts playing Forest, and then I start having the lyrics going through my head, right? Because I know the song, and it's just going through my head. And at the end of the song, there's the refrain again and again and again, right? Okay. And then the episode plays out. It was a theme for the episode. The lyrics fit the episode 100%.
One of those subtle things, yeah.
It was so subtle. If you knew the song, it was like, this is the song for this episode. And then I went back and looked at every episode. The player piano sets the tone for the entire episode. Whatever song they pick, the lyrics fit.
Yeah.
Big time. I love this show. I love Westworld.
Yeah.
It's my new favorite.
I think the Sympathy for the Devil was one of the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. Paint It Black.
Painted Black.
Painted Black.
That's what it was.
And that one fit perfect with that episode.
And that episode, to me, that was the first episode.
That was the first episode.
There were so many layers to that if you go back and watched it multiple times,
yeah,
you saw the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse come in with Eschaton, like you caught the guy's last name.
Here's the great thing in this episode, and I'm not ruining anything. We see Eschaton again in this episode.
Okay.
And he is literally asked by another character, what is your worldview? And it is a Eschaton worldview. It is everything is going to end and be horrible.
Okay.
Now, not the Eschaton we have, but.
There's an element of that to our Eschaton.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It is a great and terrible day.
Yes.
It's a day of resurrection and new life, but it's also a day of wrath and judgment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So the Christian is not supposed to be all daisies and roses about the last day.
Right,
fear. There is a great and terrible day.
Yeah.
You know, there's some things that it's over.
Yeah.
It's over for, you know, there is no more
episode. Watch this episode. And I've had some viewers kind of, or listeners kind of talk to me and ask questions because we didn't talk about the last episode, the Stray was that episode. And I think this one puts that into context more.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll definitely be getting into more
Westworld.
And we're not going to abandon Walking Dead.
I'm going to keep watching.
We are.
Yeah.
They're on our list.
Well, that was geeky.
Yeah, it was.
That was a really geeky conversation.
And we love geeking out about that stuff, and we love geeking out about Jesus, and we love that you're listening. And so we want to thank you for listening to the show, and we'll see you again next week.
That was, of course, God Geeks.